This morning we continue our sermon series on transformation. And to be fair, you should know that I don't feel like I sit in that space all the time. I feel like every once in a while I get glimpses of what a transformed life is, but if you cut me off in traffic, there is no such thing as transformed life for Peter. If I'm in a hurry and I'm I find the shortest row in the grocery store and somebody needs to write a check or they got to check a price or something, if I choose the 10 only lane and I'll be darned they've got 12 items, I do not live a transformed moment. My hope in this sermon series is for all of us to realize that that's not what life is meant for. Our life is not meant for us to spend our days being frustrated and angry with folks cutting us off in traffic. Our life is not meant for us to do the same work over and over and over every day that is not filling us with joy and a sense of purpose, to just do it for a paycheck. They call it a rat race for a reason. Shuffling papers with no purpose is not the life we're intended to lead. Jesus didn't come and die so that you could just survive your job life long enough to get to retirement so that you could sit on the couch and watch, or the big lazy boy with the handle that kicks the legs out, and relax long enough until your day comes. Jesus keeps telling us, you got to lose the life in some form, in a certain way, in order to fall into a bigger, different life. Maybe you've had glimpses of it. And you know what? You could every once in a while you hear in Jesus or the sermon series touches a piece, and you get that there's something bigger. I recognize that as a preacher trying to talk about this, that I have my great shortcomings, and I'm just doing the best I can. I'm trying to throw enough spaghetti at the wall that something sticks for you, that you will lean into a transformed life, because otherwise I'm not doing my job as a Christ follower and a preacher. I have this, it's springtime, I have this packet now of sweet peppers. It's the right time to be planting. Maybe actually I'm a little bit late. That's the joy of being a preacher who wants to garden, is that Lent and Easter really interrupt the process of having time enough to plant. Do any of you plant? Don't be timid about it. I'm not looking for this. I'm trying to get a sense of if I'm going to make any sense to anybody in the room today when I talk about seeds. All right, a few of you do. Jesus used a lot of imagery about things that were real normal activities. And it's hard to use that because none of us are normal anymore. We all have enough different uniqueness that it's hard to pick a. But Jesus talked about a seed, a grain of wheat, has to be put into the ground. It has to die and be buried. Now, we know today that seeds aren't dead when you put them in the ground. But to them, that made sense. It has to die, you put it in the ground, or else it doesn't do anything but be its own little life. A seed in and of itself is not quite worthless, but it's close. So I have a packet of sweet peppers, but I only want a couple of pepper plants, and this has probably got 20 or 30 seeds in it. So I'm really hoping that a couple of them will turn out to be tomatoes. I mean a doctor and a lawyer. I have goals for these seeds that are not the destiny of these seeds. I'm going to plant one of them next to a pine tree so that it can be tutored on how to be tall, so maybe it can be a professional basketball player. You get that I'm being tongue-in-cheek, right? Good. I have great hopes that I can produce the perfect pepper plants so that all the world will know what a great and wonderful parent I am. because the fruit that these plants make will reflect mostly on me. It has nothing to do with their destiny. I've got a couple of them in mind. I'm hoping they're going to be money plants so that I don't have to worry in my retirement. And maybe I'm hoping that none of them will turn out to be a workaholic plant and maybe have a little bit of fun in their plant. And when it flowers, I'm going to be careful so that it doesn't get pollen from an undesirable pepper plant. When we go to the store and we buy seeds or we buy a little plant to transplant, we know what we're getting, or we think we know what we're getting. When we give birth to children, we have no clue how they're going to turn out. There's not a label on them that says, this one's going to be a doctor. Make sure this one's a doctor, because this would be really dumb for them to be a musician. But it's really bad when a doctor tries to be a musician who can't carry a tune, or a musician tries to be a doctor who can't keep things straight when they're doing surgery, right? When we go to the store, we can get them marked. We can find one that we like that's healthy enough. We can adopt a plant from the store, and we know what it's supposed to be and whether it's supposed to work in our soil at our. But if we put it next to the wrong things, if it has bad company, if we don't feed it right, don't train it right, if we don't harden off our plants, it's not going to work out well for that plant. And maybe that plant won't grow fruit. Some fruit that you can get these days, you can't plant the seed and it turn out to be the same plant as you have fruit. You know, you can't take any kind of citrus plant, and take a seed out of an orange and plant it in the ground and get an orange tree that will bear fruit, right? Not a single one of them will. In order to produce an orange tree or a citrus tree of any kind, they get a particular root stock that's going to work. And the seed will produce a root, but it produces a sucker branch. It doesn't ever produce fruit. And so you have to graft onto the tree a branch that will bear fruit. And there are times when coaches and mentors and other folks in our lives graft onto us something that helps us bear the fruit that we're intended to bear. Because the stock we come from doesn't necessarily bear fruit. So what that means to us is that you can buy a citrus plant now that has lemons, limes, grapefruits, oranges, and tangerines on the same tree. They just have to graft on a branch from each of those when they get to the right place in its life. That's kind of cool, isn't it? They call them cocktail trees. That's what they call them. Jesus is telling this story that if you don't put the seed in the ground, you don't get any kind of harvest. But that seed in and of itself will produce a stalk that will produce a head of wheat that will have lots of seeds. And if you don't keep planting the seed generation after generation, you can't save that seed forever. It doesn't just magically work 10 years later. In order for there to be wheat, in order for there to be bread today, somebody had to keep putting seeds in the ground year after year after year after year after year after year after year. On the other hand, in order to do grapes that give us the grape juice, you plant one good root stock and you trim it back every year because it's the second year's growth that gives you grapes. We all grow a little differently, and we all have a little bit of a different purpose. But we all grow up, and we all try to bear the fruit we're supposed to bear. Sometimes we want to be something else than we're intended to be, and it doesn't work out pretty. Have any of you in your life ever crashed and burned because what you wanted to do with your life wasn't what the world wanted or the God wanted your life to turn out? Is it just me that's crashed and burned once? And did you learn a lesson from crashing and burning? Oh, man, we learn really good lessons from crashing and burning. They say that after the age of about 25, that you don't learn anything new from success. After the age of 25, you only learn through failures, trying something and failing. Does that resonate for you? Does that make sense? When you plant a seed, it starts to grow, and most seeds, or many seeds, will put out these leaves that don't look like the final product leaves. They have these seedling leaves that come out. You don't stop them and say, ooh, that's perfect. You got pretty leaves there, and stop and cut it off. You keep letting the plant grow. And throughout our entire life, we're meant to keep growing, and we're intended to keep producing fruit. We're not clearly marked at the store. And so we've got to figure it out mostly by trial and error. And so I'm inviting you into a spiritual experiment to discover a transformed life for you. Where is there joy? Where is there peace? Where do you feel a sense of hope? Those are the kinds of things that tell you you're on the right path. Paul writes this beautiful passage in Philippians talking about how we're supposed to grow into a particular thing. He says, well, you are supposed to grow into something that looks like Christ. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion or sympathy, man, he's really pulling out the big guns. Make my joy complete. Be of the same mind. I don't think he means with each other, because sometimes we as a group get off track and we go the wrong direction, like little kids at a soccer game. Have you watched little four-year-olds play soccer? They all go with the ball. Sometimes we go the wrong direction with the ball. I think maybe he has something in mind. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not at your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. That, I think, is the crux. How do we have the same mind as Christ? Who, though he was in the form of God, had all the power, all the responsibilities, all of the beauty, everything that was God, but did not regard equality with God as something to be held on to it, to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We do the best we can. But being a perfect pepper plant is not just what God has intended for us. I think all of us do the best we can. But the path to Christ is not a matter of copying other churchgoers. Sometimes the churchgoers that you grew up seeing as your models in church were not all that good a churchgoer. It is by getting to know Christ, by following a path that does not always look pretty. Jesus says that we should follow a path that looks like his. His included humiliation and pain and suffering. Oh, goody. Do you want a long life, even if it's routine day after day, shuffling papers and lamenting that there must be something more? sometimes we get stuck in this, the most important thing is that we live a long time. There's steps along the way, glimpses of trying to be part of the kingdom, to realize that the Spirit of God is already in you, and that when we gossip, we're not aligning ourselves with Jesus. When we get judgy and we want to compare whether somebody's good or better than I am, if we're worrying about membership, who's in and who's out, whether people are doing things right or wrong, rules and laws and commandments, those are parts of a first part of our life, and we want to grow into a different kind of fruit. Jesus didn't say, come and be perfect, obey all the rules. Jesus said, come be with me. Love God, love others, including your enemies. The fruits of the life of being a Christ follower include hope and joy and peace and love and gentleness and grace and empathy, alignment with God, including many, including all, including each other. And it is more about relationship than it is about rules. Paul in Ephesians writes, by contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Not who's perfect. Gentleness. I grew up thinking, all right, I got to do the best I can. I want to be perfect. I want my parents to love me and appreciate me. And so as a middle child, I worked really hard at being a good little boy. I'm not saved because I'm a good little boy. God doesn't love me because I'm a good little boy. God loved me before I'm even born. God loves you before you are even born. Falling into those arms has nothing to do with you. For us to be able to say, it has nothing to do with me, just God loves me and I get to love God back, changes things, changes who we are. We want to move away from our ego, our own selfish desires. God's desire for me, if God's desire for me is to be a pepper plant, and God made me to be a pepper plant, I only find that new life in God when I also choose to be a pepper plant. When God chooses it for me and I choose it, at the same moment I become God's fruit. The secret is that we are all of the same seed. The seed that you are meant to be is the unconditionally loving seed, the grace plant, the forgiveness plant. Pepper, musician, lawyer, doctor, doesn't matter. If you're going to be a doctor, be an unconditionally loving doctor. If you're going to be a musician, be an unconditionally, a gracious, gentle, loving doctor. And so I can hear your brains going, yes, but I can't do that unconditionally loving stuff. You don't know my brother, sister, spouse, child, next door neighbor. Yeah, I know the list. I started this off by saying I can't make it a whole day if somebody cuts me off and be in that place. I am not unconditionally loving, God forgive me, for those folks who cut me off in traffic. I want to follow them. Sure, it's part of my human condition of being a male. So I've got some oak branches out of the courtyard. Let's see if we can do this one last time. If I try all by myself, I'm this strong. If we get together and we all try at the same time, maybe we can be a little bit stronger, but I think I could break this. Then I won't have them for the next service. the key to who we are called to be and the seed that we are meant to be is that we align ourselves with God and with Christ. And so I take these branches, these little tiny twigs that represent you and me, and I set them up right next to the tree trunk. Turn around, look at that tree. Think I can put this up there and hold it right next to it and break the tree? And you don't have to do it all by yourself. You are aligned with Christ. Christ calls us to be unconditionally loving. You have got this little tiny seed of unconditionally loving, that imperfect little thing. I can't make it Sunday afternoon without needing to go back to church and get a little bit more dose of God's goodness because I am such a terrible human being. And I'm telling you that you don't have to be perfect. You just have to tape yourself right next to the tree. And be part of the flow that is God's unconditional love in the world. It's not about rules. It's all about relationship and alignment. Relationship first with God and then with each other. That's the best I got for you today. Let's pray. Oh, gracious God, give us a sense of unity with you, that awesome connection that we have with you, that you long for us to have with you, and that in those moments when we awaken beyond our own egos and lean into being deeply connected to you, being embraced by you, in those moments let us live a resurrection life, dead to our ego, but connected to you, connected to all creation, connected to each and every human being, each and every flower, each and every stone, each and every molecule which is part of your great creation. Let us be yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.